Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Do you ever feel like life is going too fast? Well, life is going too fast. I mean, it's even affecting the animal kingdom. I heard about three snails that mugged a turtle. And afterwards, the turtle was asked, well, what did they look like? The turtle said, I don't know, it all happened so fast. The theme of the day is do more and do it faster. One restaurant promises to serve you in 15 minutes or it's free. One ER promises to see you in 20 minutes or it's free. A number of years ago, there was a book came out called The 59-Second Employee, which was a book about staying ahead of the one-minute manager. We have email, Instagram, Facebook, Messenger, texting, voicemail, overnight delivery, all designed to make things faster. I'm trying to get organized, and experts tell me that I should only handle a piece of mail once. Now I'm afraid to touch anything. My computer is something that doesn't like me. I put stuff in it, and a lot of times I don't know where it goes or where I can find it. I'm trying to go faster. I even thought about putting my DVR in the microwave to watch movies in 20 minutes. Every time I turn around, it's do it faster, push the envelope, raise the bar. I feel like a juggler in the circus that is juggling hand grenades rather than balls. But it's not just me, it's everybody. I realized that our society was in trouble when I heard about a woman who came on an airplane and put her laptop in her lap and put her baby in an overhead compartment. And I'm trying to slow down. I'm tired of desktop dining and information overload. I don't want to be reached at www.doitfast.com. I've decided to take my mother's advice. If she said it once, she said it 100 times. Roger, be still. I've also found that the more consumed I get with doing things faster, the less time I have to love others. And I found that so often I can get so consumed in my own things that I can really miss the thing that is really the big thing, the main thing. Turn, if you will, in our bulletins to our first lesson from our gospel lesson, from John chapter 13, verse 33. It's found on page 6. Jesus is addressing his disciples here, and he says, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. The disciples didn't know that Jesus was going to be arrested, tortured, crucified, and buried. Had they known that, they might have paid more attention to him. They might have listened more to him. They might have paid attention to how he loved others. In verse 24, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now, this commandment that Jesus gave was not really a new commandment. It was a commandment that we find in the Old Testament. But he gave it a new meaning, a new direction, if you will. He said, love one another, and then he added, as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. So the question is, how did Jesus love? In what way did Jesus love? Well, first of all, we see in the scriptures that Jesus' love was not based upon some sentimental, syrupy, emotional feeling. His love was based upon action. We also see that he loved many people that didn't deserve that love, or didn't elicit a kind of loving feeling within him. We notice it about Jesus that he almost never was rushing around and seemed to always have time for people. That was not always the case, of course, when the crowds were so big and he wasn't able to minister to everyone, but it seemed like Jesus always found someone with whom he could share his compassion. And as he did so, he showed a love to others that we might have easily passed by. Jesus loved by speaking the truth in love to people. He didn't water down the truth, but he didn't use it as a club to beat people over the head with. The closest he came to doing that was with the self-righteous Pharisees. Jesus also loved by forgiving. He forgave those who even nailed him to the cross. I suspect that one of the most loving things we could do to someone is to forgive them. Jesus said, if we want to be forgiven, then we have to forgive ourselves. We have to first forgive. Jesus loved by giving himself to others. His love was sacrificial. It was done in spite of personal inconvenience or at the unworthiness of the recipient. or the time that it would involve. He was willing to lay down his life for others. Jesus loved also by maintaining a loving relationship with his friends, with his disciples. In spite of the way that they let him down or did not live up to their potential, it's one of the hardest things for us to do, isn't it? To love someone if they don't come through for us, or if they break a promise, or if they talk about us behind our back, or if they don't act like we think they should be acting as a Christian. It's very hard for us to love them. Many times we just think to ourselves, I'm just not going to have anything else to do with them. I'm not even going to talk to them unless I have to. Jesus said, no, if you're my disciples, love one another. Yes, speak words of correction. Yes, express yourself to others. Yes, even on occasion, get angry. But continue to love each other as I have loved you. Do you know where the greatest statement of Jesus' love is? We might think that it's John 3:16, but actually it's found in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where Paul writes these words. God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is echoed in Jesus' words in John chapter 15, when he said, greater love is no one than this, and that he lay down his life for his friends. Many would classify our church as a loving church, but I wonder what would happen if each one of us were to love with the love of Jesus. I suspect that people would be flocking to this place to get into the shower of that love. The only way we can truly love one another is to be connected to the King of Love. And we do that by praying to him regularly, by focusing our minds and our thoughts on him as much as we can throughout the day, by certainly seeking to read about him in the scriptures and hear from him as he speaks to us through the Bible, and then asking Jesus to let the love of God that has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us to flow out from us and to touch the parched, dry souls of so many out of the world. If you're married, you have a great chance to practice Christian love with your spouse. You and I are described in the Bible as the bride of Christ, and Jesus shows his love for us by being willing to maintain a relationship with us in spite of all the times we hurt him or let him down or sin against him. In fact, he loves us so much that he's inviting us to a wedding banquet where we will celebrate an eternal marriage to him. In our lesson from Revelation today, the angel said to the Apostle John, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. These are the true words of God. The sacrificial love of husband and wife is often a reflection, an example of Christ's sacrificial love for us. As a wife said one time, at my granddaughter's wedding reception, the DJ polled the guests to see who had been married the longest. It turned out to be my husband and me. The DJ asked us, what advice would you give to the newly married couple? I said, the three most important words in a marriage are, you're probably right. Everyone then looked at my husband and he said, she's probably right. Marriage relationships are really a reflection in many ways of all human relationships. They require patience, understanding, and sacrifice. But what often happens in a relationship is that we think that we know what the other person is thinking. We think we know what the other person is, what is motivating them to do what they're doing. We think we know what is causing them to say what they're saying. But many times we really don't know what's going on in the mind of another person. And certainly that can cause us to not act as loving toward them as we should. It was a wife who wrote in her diary, tonight I thought my husband was acting weird. We made plans to meet at a nice restaurant for dinner. I was shopping with my friends all day long, so I thought he was upset at the fact that I was a bit late, but he made no comment on it. Conversation wasn't flowing, so I suggested that we go somewhere quiet so we could talk. He agreed, but he didn't say much. I asked him what was wrong, and he said nothing. I asked him if it was my fault that he was upset. He said he wasn't upset, that it had nothing to do with me, and not to worry about it. On the way home, I told him that I loved him. He smiled slightly and kept driving. I can't explain his behavior. I don't know why he didn't say, I love you too. When we got home, I felt as if I had lost him completely, as if he wanted nothing to do with me anymore. He just sat there quietly and watched TV. He continued to seem distant and absent. Finally, with silence all around us, I decided to go to bed. About 15 minutes later, he came to bed, but I still felt he was distracted, and his thoughts were somewhere else. He fell asleep. I cried. I don't know what to do. I'm almost sure that his thoughts are with someone else. My life is a disaster. What she didn't know is that her husband had just written in his diary these words: "A one-foot putt? Who the hell misses a one-foot putt?" False assumptions can cause us to withhold our love for someone, and a lack of communication can also put a roadblock in attempts to show Christ's love to one another. When we love each other as Jesus loved, and we really seek to have His love shared with others, then we can begin to positively affect them in a way that we might never imagine. And as we do so, we really are showing them that we are Christ's disciples. Perhaps you might want to ask Jesus this week to bring someone to you that you can, with whom you can share His love. Maybe He might want to bring you to someone that you have a hard time loving, that you have a hard time relating to, a hard time being around, and asking Him to pour out His love in you through to that other person. And as we do so as a church, then I believe we'll begin to make an even greater impact, not only in our own midst, but also in the world around us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that You have been willing to show Your love for us by being willing to sacrifice Your life on the cross, that You're willing to show us Your love by having a relationship with us. And Lord, we ask that You would let Your love flow out of us into the dry and dusty hearts of those out in the world that are longing to be loved. We ask also, Lord, that You would open our eyes and ears to be sensitive to the direction of Your Holy Spirit, so that You might lead us to those who truly need to experience Your love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.